Good morning. Today's daf in Moikon, daf Yud Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf for Belen Lazer Chanishma, Slow Lupin Zaltzman. We are on daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, so that means we're behind. Make it a goal for today to catch up and finish the parak, the second parak. As I mentioned yesterday, over the course of Shabbos, you blink, you're going to miss the second parak of Moikon. Second parak of Moikon is only 2.5 block. Of Gemara. It started on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we are continuing in the second parak. Just as a quick recap of what we saw yesterday and the mission that we saw yesterday. So the mission dealt with a scenario where you started a job, and you're interrupted in the job either by Avelus or by Chol HaMoed, one of the two. To get interrupted by Avelus is unfortunately understandable. In other words, a person unanticipated becomes an Avel. And as a result of that, there's an Isser of Malacha while during Avelus. We're in the third parak of Moikon, which we're going to start, God willing, tomorrow, deals with Avelus, the halachas of Avelus, but one of the halachas of Avelus is you can't work during your Avelus. So you're interrupted right now in the middle of Avelus, so can you finish the job? So the first mission was speaking specifically about the olive press, right? So in other words, you put the olives in the olive press and you become an Avel. So can you finish the job? So that was the machlokas in the mission between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And then, I got ahead of myself. Okay. That was one scenario in the Mishnah. And the second scenario in the Mishnah was Chol HaMoed. You got interrupted by Chol HaMoed. Now, getting interrupted by Chol HaMoed is a little bit less easy to explain because you know Chol HaMoed's coming. It's on the calendar. You see it. You know where you are in the calendar. But the Mishnah points out, it's possible. It's possible that Chol HaMoed can interrupt your job. For example, the mission gives a couple of examples. Number one, the circumstances beyond your control. And you try your best to navigate the calendar, but life happens. Or, another possibility, says the Mishnah, is the workers don't come to work. So, you call them up, yeah, you're coming, good. And then they don't show up. And so, for you find yourself now on Chol HaMoed, olives are on the press, they need to be pressed, so what can you do? So now we could say it. Now it's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda says you could just do the first press and that's it. You can't do anything beyond the first press. Meaning it's right now in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Now to do Malacha during Chol HaMoed. So you could do only the first press. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Zolev, Gomer, Gaf, Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says that you can finish the job. From start to end, you could press the olives that you started before before Chol HaMoed. We saw yesterday, over the course of yesterday's daf, a major machlokas between the Amoraim, between Rav Shisha and Rav Ashi, whether or not this heter that we're talking about, this machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi extends also to Avelus as well, meaning for sure in the Mishnah, it's Chol HaMoed, you have a heter. The extent of the heter is a machlokas, but you have a heter. Do we have a heter also during Avelus? So that was a major debate amongst the Amoraim, and the position that which the Gemara seems to have adopted or take hold of is a position that no, you can't do it during Avelus. Oddly enough, as I pointed out yesterday, it's a bit of an irony that we're going to be more machmir regarding Avelus, which is an Issa d'Rabbanan, than we are going to be during Chol HaMoed, where Chol HaMoed is a quasi Issa d'Araisa, however you want to say it. Okay, that's just a quick recap. A general summary of what we've been discussing until now. We are on the Mishnah Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We are continuing. V'chein. Mishaya Yenabasor Chabor. This Mishnah is going to be almost identical. The only difference between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah is going to be the scenario. Scenario is wine is in the pit, right? Back then, they crushed the grapes, and then the wine went from the press to the pit. That's what's called the boor. The Iro Ava Ones or Shitu, and then Avelus or he's an Ones. Or the workers didn't come. Zole v'gomer v'gaf kedarko diver Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, finish the job, no problem at all. And Rabbi Yehuda omer osalo limudim b'shvil shalo yachmet. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can make limudim. Limudim explains Rashi. What does that mean? So he says that you can put the wine in a barrel. Don't seal the barrel. Meaning you have to, right? You can finish the job, but in a somewhat unprofessional manner. That's more or less how Rashi explains it. Okay, so basically, again, it's the same as the first mission of the parak. The only difference is that here we're talking about grapes and wine, and in the first mission we're talking about olives. Actually, to tell you the truth, if you look a little more carefully at the Mishnah, you'll also notice another difference, and that is the order in which the Tanaim are presented. In the first Mishnah, it's first Rav Yehuda, then Rav Yossi. And in this Mishnah, it's first Rav Yossi, then Rav Yehuda. You can take a look at the Tosis over here who makes this observation. Okay, anyway. Utsricha. We'll go right to the Gemara, Adyashmin and Kamaisa. I need both Mishnayos. Meaning, really, this Mishnah and the first Mishnah are repetitive. Telling me the same halacha, just one's about olives and the other grapes, and the Gemara says, it's not repetitive. They're necessary. Because, when we're talking about olives and the olive press, so, interesting, the Gemara says, olive oil is more expensive and more of a commodity. And so, therefore, I can understand Rav Yossi allowing you to finish the job and finish pressing the olives because we're talking about a substantial loss. But when it comes to wine, wine is not as much of a loss. So, therefore, I might have argued, had we not had this Mishnah, that he would have agreed to Rav Yehuda that finished the job, but in a unprofessional manner. And then the counter-argument is obvious, meaning if we only had the Mishnah regarding wine, so wine is a small loss. If I didn't have the Mishnah regarding olives, we could have made the argument, well, olives is a much greater loss, and therefore one could make the argument that maybe Rav Yehuda would agree to Rav Yossi, finish the job, finish the press. Tzricha, therefore, that both Mishnahs are necessary. We saw the statement already previously in the Masechta. Well, let's say it again. According to Rav Yossi, if it's a davar ha'avid, if we're talking about a financial loss, on Chol HaMoed you can take care of it, meaning in order to avoid the financial loss, and you don't have to do a shino, you don't have to do any type of change. You could do it in the normal manner. So, again, we have, in our parak alone, in our second parak of Marukan, we have two Mishnahs that speak to this idea, that Rav Yossi, for saving financial loss, allows you to do malach on Chol HaMoed without shinui. I'm Rav Yosef Halachik, Rav Yossi, and then Rav Yossi says, that's the halacha, like Rav Yossi. Are you allowed to seal a barrel of shichra, of beer on Chol HaMoed? I'm Elohu, Sinai, I'm a halacha Rav Yossi. So he says, what do you mean? Sinai said, who's Sinai? That's a nickname, if you will, for Rav Yosef. He was referred to as Sinai. Why was he given the nickname Sinai? Because he had a breadth of knowledge. He knew all the Mishnayos, all the Brisos backwards, forwards. So he was given the term Sinai. So Sinai, I'm halachik Rav Yossi. So what do you mean? Am I allowed to seal a beer barrel on Chol HaMoed? Well, didn't we just say the halachas like Rav Yossi? In order to avoid a financial loss, you can do things in the normal way. If I don't seal the beer barrel, we're going to lose the beer. So, okay, it seems to be a no-brainer. So, I am Adam Rabbi Yossi b'chama b'shechra mi'amar chama tamam ma'am mishim nafish p'seda. Shechra nami is p'seda. So the Gemara says, look, wine and beer should be no different. If I don't seal the wine barrel, we're going to lose the wine. If I don't seal the beer barrel, we're going to lose the beer. Should be obvious. Da'amar Abai, I'm really aim. So Abai quotes his mother. Okay, and every time the Gemara says this, and the Gemara says this time and again, where Abai is quoting his mother. It's not his biological mother, it's his foster mother. Abai was an orphan, but he quotes his mother often throughout Shas, and his mother tells him, Shisavi Vishaya, mi bar tamne velo shaya. If it's a question of buying beer, six barrels, whatever the measurement is, get six that are sealed rather than getting eight if it's unsealed. Even if the price is the same, it doesn't matter. Don't say, oh, I'm getting more. A is a better deal. No, six is a better deal because it's sealed. So, sealing the beer is going to save it from loss. So again, the Gemara says it is a no-brainer. If you need to seal barrels on Chol HaMoed, even if it's beer barrel, you're allowed to do so. The halach is like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav halach is most ke halach is kusim. We're going to have a couple general statements about the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Meaning now we're almost in week two of Moed Katan, and we've been discussing halachas of Chol HaMoed, and the Gemara over here makes a general statement. You know what it's like? You know what the halachas of Moed are like? It's like the halachas of Kusim. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi over here, Hilchas Kusim, where the Gemara here quotes the Gemara in Rashi, I'm sorry, Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says regarding Kusim, Hecha de Achzik Achzik, and hecha de lo achzik, lo achzik. Kusim, pick and choose, right? The Gemara in Chulin says, first of all, Kusim, we all know, those are the people who were replaced for the Northern Kingdom. Northern Kingdom was made up of 10 Shvatim. They were taken out by Sancheriv, Malchashur, replaced with the Kusim, and they weren't practicing Yiddishkeit. They weren't Torah observant. Lions came and started eating them, lack of a better term. And so they converted. Question that abounds throughout Shas is good conversion, bad conversion, forced, unforced. Anyway, how do they practice their Judaism? So basically pick and choose. But the Gemara Chulin says, whatever mitzvahs they chose and they kept very strong. So in other words, they didn't adopt all of the Torah, but whatever they took hold of well. So Lamai Hilchasa, so the Gemara says, okay, and the Halachas of Moed are like that. Okay, it's a strange comparison, but that's what the Gemara says. So Lamai Hilchasa, Amar Daniel Bar Katina, Lama Shehein Akuros. The Gemara gives another description, another generic description regarding the halachas of moed. They are akuros. Okay, take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says ki isha akara. The halachas of moed of chol moed are like a barren woman. Okay, again, strange comparison. Let's read Rashi. She'ein la'adam mimenu pri elagufa. When it comes to the halachas of chol moed, it doesn't generate a pri, meaning like a barren woman, where it's just a woman, she's not going to produce children. So the halacha of chol moed is just, you have the halacha, but it's not going to generate a dividend. What does that mean? Generally speaking, in the world of halacha, I have a halacha, I can therefore make an argument based on that halacha. I can extend an idea. Well, if the halacha is like this over here, so we can extend. We have what's called kal v'chomer. We have logical arguments where we can deduce one point from another point in the world of halacha. When it comes to chol moed, you are not afforded that logic. That's basically what the Gemara means. So the Gemara says, I'll give an example. So damar shmol zoftin kusus avin zoftin chavisa. Lining the inside of a barrel. So I can line the inside of a kuza. Kuza is a small jug, but I can't line the inside of a barrel. Okay, that's according to Shmuel. And Rav Dimi Menarda Amar Zofsin Chavisa Vein Zofsin Kuzza. Now Rav Dimi goes in the exact opposite direction. You can line the inside of a barrel, but you cannot line the inside of a jug. Now, basically, these Amarayim are in agreement that you are allowed to line the inside, and I guess lining the inside provides insulation and protection, but they're arguing about big barrel versus small jug. And again, if there was a general idea of logical argument, well, if I can line a big barrel, for sure I can line a small jug. Right? In other words, we would make such arguments. And clearly here, we don't make those arguments. And the Gemara goes on to explain, the machlokus over here, one position is, we're worried about loss, pseda, and Rashi explains, that would explain the position that you're allowed to line the barrel, because if you don't line the barrel, then the contents of what I put into the barrel is going to devalue, and so that will be a tremendous pseda. A kuza, if I'm just filling a jug, so it's not going to be used for long term, you don't have to worry so much about a pseda. That would be the argument that that would represent the position of Rav Dimi. What about the other position? And Mar Chayish L'Tircha, meaning he's more worried about Tircha. So lining a jug, a small jug, okay, that's a small job. Lining a barrel, right, that's a much larger job. And so therefore, each one has their own consideration. Can I deduce one from the other? The answer is no. And that explains the statement that the halachas of chol moed are like an isha akara. In other words, I can't make a deduction from one point to another point. There are no dividends.
The thing is, are you lining it from the outside or inside? Because if you argue that they're lining from the inside, the small kuza may be more of a tircha because it's smaller to get into than
okay.
The large one.
Could be. It sounds like we're lining the inside. That's what it sounds like. Okay. Amar Abayi, Naktin Halachas Mo'ed Kehilchos Shabbos. Another general comparison. The halachas of chol moed, you know what it's like? It's like the halachas of Shabbos. How are we understanding that comparison? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Yesh mehem patur aval. Also yesh mehem mutar l'chatchila. Some actions are rabbinically forbidden and some are mutar l'gamrei. Take a look at the top Rashi over here. Rashi writes, v'ha diktani ein zofsin also l'me'av l'chatchila. Aval b'di'eved lo ha'vechayav. V'ha diktani zofsin ha'vi mutar l'chatchila. Right, the position that you're not allowed to put pitch on the inside, that doesn't mean it's biblically prohibited, it's only rabbinically prohibited. That's pater of a aser. And the position that says that you are allowed to line the inside, with pitch, it's mutal agamre. So in other words, actions which seem similar to one another, one could be rabbinically forbidden, the other one could be permitted altogether. And that's why it's like Shabbos in the sense of asur derabanan versus mutal agamre. Okay. Rav Huna chatzah lechatzah b'mo'adam. Rav Huna harvested. And, well, Rav Huna didn't do the harvesting, but he allowed his field to be harvested on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what are you doing? Tochten kemech b'mo l'tzor ha-moed. U'shalo l'tzor ha-moed asar. You can grind your flour on Chol HaMoed, but only for Chol HaMoed. This is what's called tzor ha-moed. The Brisa says it. It's called tzor ha-moed, and I could prepare food, but on Chol HaMoed for Chol HaMoed. But I can't prepare for after Chol HaMoed. Davashava b'moed motel asosa b'moed. Davashenu ava b'moed asar. If it's a davar avod, if it's something which is going to represent a loss, a financial loss, so then I could do it in Chol HaMoed. If it doesn't represent a financial loss, then I can't. B'medvar mamorim betlushim mena karka. But all this is only if it's already been detached from the ground. Ava mechubel karka filu kula avod asar. But to harvest the land, that you can't do in Chol HaMoed, even if it represents a loss. Now, I don't understand the difference, which is fine, because the Gemara just told us, don't try to understand all the differences of Chol HaMoed. I don't understand the difference, meaning you're allowed to do some halachas on Chol HaMoed, but not others. But I'd venture a guess, and I would say that if we're talking about harvesting the land is a major production, something that even the Chachamim were not allowed to be done in Chol HaMoed, because you'd have to harvest, and then you have to go through all the subsequent steps of preparing it in order to get to the point of where it's bread, edible bread. So therefore, if it's a question of harvesting the land, you can't do it, even if it represents a financial loss. Now, if you have nothing to eat, then you can go through every step of the bread-making process. The only thing, the only limitation is when it comes to disha, when it comes to threshing, so don't use your oxen, meaning don't use your cows. Do disha manually, but don't use cows in order to do it. No horsepower. So Amar Leg.
That's more work.
Understood. Agreed. I just agree. It's one way to make it distinguishable that it's a special day. But okay, I hear you. Look, how much of disha have I done in my lifetime? So Amar Leg Yichidaihi Velo Sfir Lan Kavasei. So, again, all this posed a challenge to Rav Huna because Rav Huna allowed his field to be harvested. And then the Gemara quoted a Braisa. So the Gemara says, and the Braisa says that if you don't have anything to eat, so then you can harvest. So to that, so he says, okay, but that Braisa is a Chida, that's one Tana's opinion, and we don't hold like that. And how do I know that the Tanya? Because we learned in the Brisa, Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Devar Atoshman Akarka Afilu, Mitzaso Avod, Mutar. Vamachubal Akarka Afilu Kulo Avod Aser. The Gemara quotes another Brisa in the name of Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel quotes in the name of Rabbi Yosi that if the wheat is still connected to the field, right? It's still attached to the field. So even if we're looking at a loss, so then it would be prohibited. You can't get it off the field. So the Rav Yosi Yidosh Nami Beparos. So the Gemara says, so if the author of the Brisa is Rav Yosi, so then why not do Disha with the cows? Ham Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, Mantanashina Bar Moed, Bedavar Ava Deloka Rav Yosi. Didn't we just say a moment ago, a couple minutes ago, that if we're talking about a financial loss, you can do it according to Rav Yosi without any deviation whatsoever? So the Gemara says, Disha is done manually. It's not necessarily done with horsepower, or in this case with cow power. This is not a shinui. This is how it's normally done. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. And now we're going to see a number of brises over the course of the rest of this amud that deals with doing malach on Chol HaMoed. Tochnim b'moed l'tzor ha-moed. You can do tchina. You can grind up your wheat or anything else that needs to be ground up. You can grind on Chol HaMoed, but only for l'tzor ha-moed, only for the purpose of Chol HaMoed. U'shalo l'tzor ha-moed also, but if it's not for moed, meaning if I'm grinding it for after Chol HaMoed, that you're not allowed to do it also. V'im tachan v'hoster ha-reza muter. Now, you don't have to be exact, meaning you're grinding and there happens to be a little bit left over, that's okay. Same thing with chopping of wood. Again, same exact point. For chalamot, it's mutter. If there's any left over, that's fine. Matil and shecher b'mo letzor chamor shalot letzor chamor aser. Making beer. If you're making beer on chalamot for chalamot, good. If there's a little bit left over, v'imito v'osare harei zemutter. Uvavat shalo yarem. Now this braisa ends off by saying no harama, no winking. Meaning that's a lot of beer you're making over there. Oh, I know. Well, I'm really making it for chalamot. Wink, wink. So the braisa says that you can't do that. You can't do harama. Meaning, knowing full well that there's going to be a lot of beer left over for Chol HaMoed, for after Chol HaMoed, that you can't do. Urim minhu. But the Gemara says, what according to another braisa? Matil and shecher b'mo letzorech HaMoed v'shalot tzorech HaMoed aser. Echa shecher tamar v'echa shecher sa'orim. So here the braisa says it doesn't matter what kind of beer it was. Back then the date beer was the more popular beer. Well, our beer, right, our popular beer is made up of barley. They had barley beer back then, just wasn't as popular. This brisa says, now you have beer already, it's okay, you can make new beer. Oh, there's going to be a lot left over, that's okay. So this brisa allows for harama, allows for a little bit of deception in the world of Chol HaMoed. So Tanahi, so the Gemara says, okay, one brisa says you can do harama, another brisa says you cannot do harama, machlokas Tanahi. The time will enter the Brisa in Marim Bekach Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Amar Marim. Okay, so we see a Brisa that spells out that is in fact a machlokus amongst the Amorim. Rav Chasa Lechatsa B'chol Demoada. Okay, so we saw on the top of this Amud, Rav Huna allowed his field to be harvested in Chol HaMoed. Rav did as well. So Shama Shmuel Ikbid. So Shmuel heard about this and Shmuel got very angry that Rav allowed his field to get harvested on Chol HaMoed. Shmuel got upset. Lema Shmuel Ki Yichidas V'Elei. So the Gemara says, now, what does that mean? That Shmuel is holding like a singular position that you're not allowed to harvest the field, meaning that of Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, well, chatzah dechaita hava delo hava pasit. So the Gemara says, no, the reason why Shmuel got so upset is because it was a wheat field. A wheat field could have waited until after Chol HaMoed, meaning there wasn't going to be a loss. There was no financial loss over here. So really, there was no justification for Rav to harvest his field. Okay, so good. That's why Shmuel got upset. From what we understand Shmuel. Now let's go back to Rav. Right, Rav is a very Torah observant Jew. So it only begs the question: What's Rav doing? V'Rav Maitam Avid Hachi. That's the Gemara's next question. So Ein Lo Mayocha Hava. So the Gemara says Rav had nothing to eat. So the Gemara says, Rav was justified in harvesting the field because, like we saw earlier this morning, if you have nothing to eat, then you are allowed to harvest the field. Ushmuel Lo Sim Lo Kameh. And Shmuel didn't hear the rest of the story. So it sounds like from the Gemara that Shmuel came to a quick decision, a quick judgment without hearing the rest of the story. Okay, that's what it sounds like. Iname Adam Chashav Shani. Or, the Gemara says, another possibility is Adam Chashav, that he was a significant individual, he was an important individual, and so therefore, even though Rav had nothing to eat, he wasn't allowed to harvest his field because he was an Adam Chashav. Only begs the question, if you have nothing to eat, and you're an Adam Chashav, so which doesn't give you the, in other words, for everyone else, they have the legitimate right to harvest the field in order to get wheat. But if you're an Adam Chashav and therefore you're not allowed to harvest the wheat, so then what do you do for food? Right, that's right. So what do you do? So the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but you don't harvest your field in Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah Nafak Be Chumrasa De Medusha. Rav Yehuda Nasiya, he was the grandson of Rav Yehuda Nasi. And he did two things which were of controversy. Number one, he went out wearing a signet ring on Shabbos. Right, the signet ring on Shabbos, it was made up of composite. We'll get to the actual makeup of the ring in just a moment. And the Gemara is going to argue that you're not allowed to wear such a ring on Shabbos. For reasons which we'll explain in just a moment. And he drank coffee tea. I made up the coffee and tea part. In other words, hot water that was heated up by a non-Jew. Okay, and possible, right? Emphasis on the word possible. A possible violation of Bisha Akum. Okay, so two things of controversy that was done by Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So Rabbi Ami got very upset. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, you shouldn't behave in this manner. doing these controversial things. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, my time ik b'dim shem chumas the medusha. So the Gemara says, okay, which one of these really warranted this reaction of Rav Ami? So the Gemara says, is it the fact that he was wearing the signet ring? So Atanya, hashir nanzam v'atabas arin kachol akel mental on the chaser. So as far as the ring is concerned, a ring is ornamental, right? It's cosmetic, and right, man wants to wear a ring. So okay, that's fine. And in fact, the Mishnah says it's not muktza. Okay, so that's not the controversy. So im yishum de ishte maya de achim kepel arma. So the Gemara says, and what about the fact that he drank water that was heated up by a non-Jew? So Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rav Kol Shein Echol Kamoshu Chayim Bo Mishum Bishul and Nechrim. So the Gemara says, okay, a simple rule regarding Bishalakim, which is if it can be eaten in its raw state and the non-Jew cooks it, it's not Bishalakim. Apple, which is baked by a non-Jew, it's fine. Peanuts that are boiled. I know. I just was in a week in Georgia. Okay, boiled peanuts everywhere. Anyway, so peanuts cooked by a non-Jew, it's not Bishalakim. So we're talking about water. Water cooked up by a non-Jew, not Bishalakim. So right now, right on the depth chart of Rav Yehuda Nasiya and his controversial actions, neither was controversial. So the Gemara says Adam Chashav Shani. So and this is why the Gemara brings this incident over here. The Gemara says, okay, you're right, Adam Chashav Shani. For the rest of us, you're right. You can wear the ring on Shabbos. You can drink coffee made at your local coffee maker. Right, it's not bishalakim. The water could be drinking in its raw state, and therefore not subject to bishalakim. The debate over the years, meaning it's not a new discussion, whether or not the addition of coffee converts it to bishalakim. The answer is not the answer, but you know the consensus is it doesn't. But it was a major discussion for the last couple hundred years.
Yes. Isn't
okay, but you're right, but it's also ornamental. Meaning you're right. They did use it to seal documents, but also was right. It's like the watches of nowadays, and it's like, you know, it's ornamental. It's jewelry, if you will. Okay, so Adam Chashav Shani, meaning Rav Yehuda Nasiya was the leader of the Jewish people, and therefore he needs to act in a higher level. Amar Chanano, Amar Rav. Kotzis Adam Dekel B'Moed Alfa Pishen Utzarech Ela L'Nesor Shalom. You can cut a tree in Chol HaMoed. All you need is a sawdust. That's fine. That's enough justification to cut down the tree. Layala Abaye. Abaye was very upset, meaning that is a leniency, and Abaye felt too lenient. Rav Ashi Avalei Abba Bishilna Azala Mixa Bechul Demoada. Rav Ashi had a forest. The word Abba over here means a forest. And it was in a particular city by the name of Bishilna. And basically, Rav Ashi cut down his palm tree on Chol HaMoed because he needed the sawdust. Amalei Rav Shila Mishainalei L'Rav Ashi My Daitech D'Kamar Chanan Amrav Kotzitz Adam Dekha B'Moed Afa Pishen Esar Chal and Esar Shalal. So you based your action on the statement of Rav, but let me remind you how light Allah Abaye. But Abaye was very upset with this heter. He felt that it was just too lenient. So Amalei Lo Shmeli Klamer Lo Sirli. So Rav Ashi's response is a shrug of a shoulder. Meaning, okay, Abai didn't like it, okay, but Rav said it. I'm sticking with Rav. Ishtamit Narga Bai Lemistike Lishake. So, and as he was trying to chop down the tree, so the axe slipped and nearly cut off his leg. And he understood that as a simon min hashamayim. Shafke Bahadur Asa. So he left the tree, meaning he stopped chopping the tree down. He understood. Abai gave a curse, meaning Rav gave a heter, Abai gave a curse. I shouldn't shrug my shoulders at the curse of Abaye. Okay. Rav Yehuda Shar Lame Akar Kitna Ula Miktal Keshusa Ula Me Akar Shumshamay. Rav Yehuda gives three heterim on Chol HaMoed. Number one, flax, Me Akar Kitna. If you take a look at Rashi, I'm sorry, the Gemara is going to explain each one of them. Okay. But Makar Kitna is flax, Miktal Keshusa, Keshusa is like hops. And Akar Shumshamay sesame seeds. Okay, so let's go and explain each one of these. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef Bishla Mekitna Chazal Chafifa. Okay, now in terms of flax, I get it. Meaning, what good is flax on Chol HaMoed? It's great for covering your food. It was an insulation. Remember the fourth parak of Shabbos, the parak of Hatmana, where we're talking about insulating your food on Shabbos? So one of the items that was used for insulation was flax. Okay, so flax makes a great insulation. And kishus sechaz l'shechra. And the production of hops on Chol HaMoed, I get because you make beer out of it, and I totally get that as well. As far as the sesame seeds are concerned, so the Gemara says basically you can convert it into oil. Gemara ends this up with a story. Rav Yehuda had a orchard on it was a pardes, and its harvest comes up right at Chol HaMoed, and and what he does is he chops it down, meaning, what is he going to do with it? He's going to use, it was sesame seeds, and he was going to use it for Chol HaMoed, meaning make basically oil out of it. Okay, so l'shana shayu kulei amal l'pardasayu l'chula d'moed. So now everyone sees what Rabbi Yannai did, meaning not understanding all the background, but he harvested his sesame seeds on Chol HaMoed. So the next year, everyone postponed the harvest of the sesame seed to Chol HaMoed. The Rebbe did it, we're going to do it as well. And Afkare Rabbi Yannai l'pardasayu shasa. And Rabbi Yannai was so upset because he wasn't planning on harvesting his sesame seeds during Chol HaMoed. It just happens to be that that's when the harvest was available, and there's a legitimate hetter to do so. But when he saw that everyone watched him and imitated him, and not only imitated him, but basically waited till Chol HaMoed to do it, so then he realized, what I did was no good. I set the standard. I'm a role model for everybody. They're all following me. He felt terrible. He felt so bad, says the Gemara, that he was mafkir his sada. He let his field ownerless so that everyone can come in and take, and like a form of tshuva, if you will, for what he felt was a terrible act. Okay, Mishnah, we're on the bottom of your base amid bays. Machnas ad peiros b'mnei aganavim. Your fruit is out in your field, and it's Chol HaMoed, and you're afraid that people are going to just help themselves to my fruit. So on Chol HaMoed, here's what you're allowed to do. Gather the fruit into your house. Okay, let's stop right here at this point of the Mishnah. Gather your fruit into your house. And that's a violation of Chol HaMoed because, meaning, the Mishnah is giving this out like this is a special heter, a dispensation. Well, what's the problem? Well, it could be Tircha. Take a look at Tosos. Tosos over here, second Tosos on the Amud. So Tosos is going to end up with throwing his hands up in the air and saying, I don't know. Tosos writes, Mishum, the Surah, I'm sorry, Imtim Salomar, sorry, am I reading the right Tosfos? No, first Tosfos on the Amud. Okay, sorry. Perish B'Tosfos Arav, Debe Asifas Peris Ika Malacha. Gathering your fruit, there's a Malacha. Kidamina B'Perik Ein Dorshin. Gabi Chag Asifa B'Mord Mishare. We're going to see a Gemara in Chagiga, not that long from now, but about 3 weeks from now, where the Gemara there is going to say that you cannot gather on Chol HaMoed. The Eini Yodea Ma Malacha, and Tosa says, and I don't know. Meaning, okay, I know we're talking about collecting fruit from the field. We're not talking about picking the fruit off the tree, right? That obviously would be a malacha that's called tolesh, but we're not talking about picking the fruit off the tree. But we are talking about just gathering the fruit. What is that? Tosa says, I don't know. Vitzarich iyun, and Tosa says you gotta think about it. And itarch b'la malacha, and then Tosas goes on to consider, Ben, what your consideration was. It's a tircha, it's an extra tircha. But Tosas says, I don't know what the malacha is. So this is a great review of the malachas of Shabbos. Okay, I know there are 39 of them, but really you only have to remember the first 11 in order to think this through. Meaning there is a malacha of gathering your fruit from the field, and that is a malacha of, not kosher, the kosher is actually uprooting it from the field. Ma'amer, exactly. Mem ayin mem resh. So it's a malach of ma'amer. In fact, if you take a look at the Rashash, all right, I have a note over here. So last time we went through this, so, right, this is, Baruch Hashem, you get to review this. So so last time I have a note over here, so go make sure to take a look at the Rashash. So the Rashash writes over here, the halacha in question is the malacha of ma'amer. Ma'amer is gathering the fruit. In fact, it's a good point by the Rashash, but it's an obvious point. And it didn't escape Tosos, meaning Tosos knew the 39 malachas. Why didn't Tosos write very simply that's Mamer? So that's worth consideration. And if you take a look at the Rashash does entertain a possibility why Tosfos didn't suggest it was mamer.
Is mamer limited only to the field, or it could be even outside the field of something?
Right. So good. So that's part of the consideration. So again, you'll look at it more afterwards. But it's good. It's a good discussion. So go back to the Mishnah. Show the pishtanim in a mishra b'shur shalot te'aved. All right, that your flax is soaking, and if it keeps soaking, you're going to lose the flax. So you can pull it out of the water on Chol HaMoed. But don't plan this. Don't coordinate this. Meaning only if the if events happen where you're gathering the fruit in the field, you're removing the flax from the water, then you're allowed to do it. But you cannot plan for this for Chol HaMoed. The kulamin kipna malachta b'moed yovedu. And what if you did plan this for Chol HaMoed? So you went out of your way to plan to do work on Chol HaMoed. So then yovedu, you're going to lose it. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Asa lehanos mehem. A knas, a punitive fine, instituted by the rabbis that if you planned a doing malachta during Chol HaMoed, so you cannot benefit from it. All right, we always run into the same issue of this person who was so who was so callous towards halacha. He doesn't care. I'm gonna do malacha during Chol HaMoed and so be it. And then he's gonna listen to the knas of the chachamim, right? But people change, and people could have a change of heart. And maybe after planning to do it in Chol HaMoed, so he thinks about it and he realizes, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, the rabbi said I can't benefit from it. I'm not ready to listen. Okay, Tana, we learned in a brisa. The brisa says that yes, you can gather your fruit, bring it into your house privately. In other words, don't make a big deal about this. It's Chol HaMoed, right? In other words, respect Chol HaMoed. You have every right to bring the fruit into your house, right? You don't have to suffer a loss because of Chol HaMoed, a financial loss, but do it so privately. Rav Yosef have like shure, Ailina biyamuma. Rav Yosef had kshure, right? The beams, and he was afraid they were going to get stolen, so therefore he brought them into his house on Chol HaMoed. Amalei Abayva, Hatanya v'Lashichnas and Betzina b'Soch Beso. What are you doing? You bring it into your house broad daylight, meaning do it privately. Wait till night. Do it at night. So Amalei Tzina Dahani Yamamu. Rav Yosef says to his student Abaye, no, bringing it during the day is actually more private. Why came the Balala Bao Gavi Yaseru Bao Meduchre Denura Afshamosa? Imagine we have to bring this in at night. At night you need fire, I need bonfire, I need torches, I need more people. It'll be quieter if we bring it in during the daytime. Okay. Shola Pishtana Mina Mishra, removing the flax from the water. By Mine Rab Yermiya Mid Rabbi Zera. The Gemara over here has a fundamental question, and this is a general question. Whenever there's a knas issued by the chachamim, the chachamim penalize, so the penalty is going on the object or the person. A general shas discussion. The Gemara has it right over here. Bamine Rav Yirmiyah Rav Zera kema malachto b'moed umeis ma'ushi kansu b'nav acharav. Yeah, let's say we have a particular person. Let's call him Reuven. Okay? Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's do Yaakov Reuven. So let's call him Yaakov. Okay, so and this person was disrespectful during Chol HaMoed, planned, coordinated to have work done on Chol HaMoed, and he harvested a field on Chol HaMoed with full intent of doing so. Okay, and now there's a penalty, which is that any of the yield of the work that he did in Chol HaMoed, now he cannot benefit from it. Yaakov dies. Now it leaves his son Reuven with the harvested wheat that dad deliberately harvested on Chol HaMoed. And now there was a penalty. Is penalty going on dad, or is penalty going on the wheat? A very fundamental question. And the Gemara says, that's exactly the Gemara's question. Mahushi kansu banav acharav imtim tzalomar. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a couple of other areas in halacha where this comes up. So number one, starting ozim b'chor, kansu banav acharav. So one example would be, you know that a firstborn animal has the status of a b'chor, and without a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait till it gets a blemish. Now, one would be very tempted, especially a Kohen, who is the recipient of the Bechor, to just simply clip the ear, clip the lip, put a physical blemish on the animal, so then now he would be able to eat it. The Kohen is not allowed to do that. What if the Kohen did it? So a Knas goes on the Kohen. And not only on the Kohen, but if he dies, on his son, on his grandchild, meaning that a knas will be that you cannot benefit from this animal because you placed a blemish. That's not how it works. The only way that you can eat the animal is only if the blemish happens organically, naturally. And so therefore, this is an example where the knas is going on the animal. So the Gemara says, okay, but mishum nisa daraisa. The Gemara says, that's a biblical prohibition. And here, we're talking about Chol HaMoed, it's not the araisa, it's the rabbana. Okay, I know this is one of the major topics of discussion that we discussed since day one of the Masechta. Whether working on Chol HaMoed is an issa daraisa or an issa darabanan, this Gemara makes it sound like it's an issa darabanan. Fine. Intim salomar mecher avdala ove kochavim umes. Another example of where the rabbis made a knas, and that is by selling your eved to a non-Jew. And we're talking about an eved kanani. You sell your eved kanani to a non-Jew. What's the problem with that? Problem with that is that you're not supposed to. Problem with that is that while he worked for you, he had every opportunity to do mitzvos. Once he works for the non-Jew, non-Jew is going to be totally totally dismissive of, what do you want to do? Shabbos? Right, kashrut? Nothing. So in other words, you're basically removing his ability to do mitzvos. So therefore, a knas goes on you and on your son. The knas is that you have to free him. Right? It's your responsibility to not free him. So the Gemara says, I understand in that case as well. The knas goes on you and the knas goes on the son. Because look at the severity of what you did. You took a person who was doing mitzvos and you put him in a position where he cannot do any mitzvos now as long as he's under the ownership of the non-Jew. So the knas goes to you, to your next generation, where you are now going to be obligated to free him. So hachamai. So I understand the case of putting a blemish on a bechor. I understand the case of selling your eved to a non-Jew. Over here in this particular case, where a person intentionally planned on doing malacha during Chol HaMoed, and he did it. So and there's a knas where you're not going to get benefit from that. Are we also going to place the knas on the next generation as well? So gavra knas rabbanan v'aleisa odim ha'mamona knas rabbanan v'aisa. Okay, and the Gemara spells out the question. Very straightforward. Knas going on the person or on the product? So amalei tenisua. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a Mishnah in Shvias. Sada shenizkavtza b'shvias. Let's say I have a field where you did minimal work on the field during Shemitah. Right, we are but 1 month away from the Shemitah year. Okay, the Shemitah starts in Tishrei, first day of Tishrei. So you do work on the field during Shemitah. Obviously, you're not allowed to. But the first case in the Mishnah is minimal work, not very significant work, just removing thorns off the field. So Tizera Lamoshe Shvias. So after Shemitah year is over, you can plant in that field. You didn't offend the laws of Shemitah. However, Nitaivam O Nidairam, if you did serious land improvement, like fertilize the field, right? The Rashi Tosfos have a discussion exactly what Nitaiva means. In the meantime, however, you did a very serious improvement of the land during Shemitah, Lo Tizara Lamote Shvias. So now you did bad. And as a knas, as a penalty, the Chachamim forbade you from planting the next year on that field. The Amr of Yosef Rabbi Chanina Atinan Heitiva Omeis Benozara. And we have the following tradition. If dad was the one who violated the Shemitah year by improving the land during Shemitah, and dad dies, the son is allowed to plant in that field, and the knas is not inherited by the son. So again, here's a good example where we have a knas to Rabbanan, and it does not go to the next generation. Ama lididei kansu rabbanan, labrei lo kansu rabbanan. Hachanam lididei kansu rabbanan, labrei lo kansu rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so that seems to be a good proof. Ama rabbi nakinan, timet arasov ameis lo kansu bano acharav. Okay, another example where we have a knas, and it doesn't go to the next generation. Let's say I go to your food, or your kalem, and I'm mitame. All right, let's say you have truma. And I come over and I say, your truma is nice, it's wonderful. I'm in a state of truma and I touch your truma. And what do I do now? I make it inedible to you. Okay. I damaged your property. So do I have to pay? Yeah, right, anyone know what the correct answer is? Right, it's hezek she'eino nicker. Meaning I didn't create an actual physical damage to your item. I created halachic damage And according to the strict letter of the law, this is not Hezek. Right. Ah, okay, fine. Right, right. So it's not Hezek. Good. And that means that according to the strict letter of the law, I don't need to pay. Okay, the fifth parak of Gittin, the Gemara over there goes over a number of enactments that were made by the rabbis for Tikkun Olam. Right, that just simply society is going to have a very difficult way functioning that way. So the Chachamim Levita Kenas, because I made your food inedible, halachically, so I have to make restitution. But only I need to make restitution. So, but if I die, what a terrible conclusion to the story. But if I die and the Kenas does not go to my next generation. So my time, Hezek Sheino Nikolosh, may Hezek Lididei Kanser Rabbanan, Librelo Kanser Rabbanan. And to which the Gemara says, okay, Kenas is only for the person, not for his next generation. So again, thematically, the Gemara goes over four or five different examples where when the Chachamim levy a Kenas against the person, the Kenas is on the person, not on the item, and therefore does not get passed to the next generation.
As a debt that the guy owes, and the state has to honor still.
Correct, but it's not a debt. Meaning, it's a penalty. So
at this point, he owes the state this much money as a kenas, but it's still
right. But it's as a kenas, though. In other words, it's in the bookkeeping. It's a different line item. It's not debt. It's a penalty, and so when he dies, it's that's forgiven. Yes.
What if the state situation too? If the father sold the slave to idol worshippers. The sons are not
Right. But the Gemara gave an argument over there that's you took a person and you removed him from mitzvos. So that's, in other words, the offense is so egregious that gets to pass down to the child. And this and the Gemara says the same thing with Bechor. That's an Issa D'oraisa. Right. That's
so.
That's what it sounds like. Right. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. And then what about Shemitah? In other words, Shemitah is not D'oraisa. I was thinking about that. And I guess the argument would be that Shemitah b'zman hazeh, maybe Shemitah nowadays. Okay. Ein lochim batim avadim ubehema elo letzor chamoed. Big ticket purchases on Chol HaMoed. You can do it, but only for Chol HaMoed. So you're buying a house on Chol HaMoed. Okay. If you need it for Chol HaMoed, I know that sounds a little bit strange, right? You need a house for Chol HaMoed? Okay, but it could be that, you know, you are... Well, look, we all go to hotels, okay, except for me. The a couple of other people I know, but the in other words, you rent out hotels on Chol HaMoed. But in other words, even if you need to buy a property, you can do so l'tzorach hamoed. All right, buying property, buying an eved, buying a behema. If it's all l'tzorach hamoed, so then you can make those big item purchases. So oh l'tzorach hamoches shema mayochal or. Another consideration, let's say the seller has nothing to eat. So he's selling, now you don't particularly need it, but he needs the money. He has nothing to eat, so then you can also make a purchase, you can make a transaction for the purpose of allowing the seller money so that he can eat. So in our Mishnah we discussed, a person has no food on the table and he needs income, so he can sell off items. That's allowed. What about selling services? Are you allowed to offer your services on Chol HaMoed if you have nothing to eat? Now I know this, again, this discussion is strange. The person has nothing to eat, like in other words, right, correct. the Torah expects us to sustain and survive and thrive. And
right?
The Chai Bahem. It is a strange discussion. But the second time already this morning that we already pointed out that there are other ways that he can go about eating. He can beg. He can borrow. Understood. It does sound like a strange question, but the Gemara explores. So she'en lo mayochal mahu amar le tanina o l'tzor chamocha she'en lo mayochal. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah allows you to sell off assets so that you can eat on Chol HaMoed. Lasuya my lava lasuya schar peula amar le lo perushika mefarish. Gemara says, look, our Mishnah, you can't necessarily learn from our Mishnah, because it could very well be that our Mishnah is just giving an explanation. You can only sell off assets in order so that you can eat, but maybe not, not schar pu'ula, but not sell services. Now over here, just a small emendation in the Gemara. V'she'in lo mayochal harezei yichtov. Right, you're allowed to borrow money on Chol HaMoed. Now, let's say you want to commit the loan to a document. Right? Very smart. always worthwhile, right? Writing a note. So on Chol HaMoed, if there is no trust between borrower and lender, well, not even no trust, but in other words, there's a lack of trust, so then you could write a note on Chol HaMoed. And another reason why you'd be allowed to write a note, even if there's full trust between borrower and lender, let's say the scribe of the city right now is really short on funds. So you can write a note just for the express purpose of giving a source of income for the scribe of the city. Oh, that's services. Gemara says that's a good point. That's a very good point. Most of Rav Sheshet HaChachamim Shal Shom Niyosos HaMalach HaBarabi Pesachim Ad Chatzos. We go to a Mishnah in Pesachim not that long ago. The Mishnah in Pesachim says that three businesses can keep their doors open on Chol HaMoed. On the 14th day of Nisan, what we call Erev Pesach. Right, remember, after Chatzos, nobody can do work on Erev Pesach. Before Chatzos, some yes, some no, minach hamakom. Did I say fifth parak of Pesachim? I don't know if I said that. Anyway, it's the fourth parak of Pesachim. And they are chayatam asaparim v'kovsim. Okay, and the Gemara goes on to explain. Hachayatu shekein hedja tofa kadaka b'chol shemoed. In terms of the tailor, so we already learned back earlier in the Masechta, some basic stitching can be done in Chol HaMoed. If it can be done in Chol HaMoed, it for sure can be done on Erev Pesach. And in terms of getting a haircut and laundry, under limited circumstances, which we're going to talk about, I think tomorrow's off already. So under limited circumstances, you can get a haircut or launder on Chol HaMoed. But so the Gemara says, okay, what about the worker who's so poor, he right now needs to work in order to put food on the table, so if he's allowed to do those types of labors, so basically doesn't that allow us to do any malacha on Erev Pesach? The Gemara says, maska for a papa says, that's not a good argument. Elamiata binyan lishtari shekein. Well, let's start arguing that you're allowed to build on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because remember what we learned a week ago in the Daf. Kosel Hagoeh LeRishus HaRabim Soser Bana Kedarkum Imnei Sakana. Right, the wall's leaning and it's causing a public hazard. So what you could do on Chol HaMoed, tear down the wall and build it up again. Oh, you're allowed to build, right? Can we make an argument that you're allowed to build also because under certain circumstances you're allowed to build? So Matkavu Ravina Ameata Lavlan Lishtar Shekin Kosin Kedushin Hashem Gitim Vishovrim. All right, you can write on Chol HaMoed under certain concerned circumstances. You need to write documentation. You can write on Chol HaMoed. Must be that anyone can write on Chol HaMoed. So Ela Amravashi Moed Arbasar Karamis Moed Mishem Tirchuhu V'Makum Pseida Shara Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, look, what are you doing? You're comparing Chol HaMoed to Erev Pesach. On Chol HaMoed, the issue is Tircha. The rabbis don't want us working hard on Chol HaMoed. Okay, but if it's Pseida, if we're talking about a potential loss, so the rabbis allowed it. Arba Asar Mishum Tzarech Yom Tovu. On the 14th day of Nisan, although it looks like a Chol HaMoed type halacha, it's not. It's basically, you need to get ready for Yom Tov. That's why the rabbis prohibited doing any external matters, because they want us focusing on Yom Tov. Midat Tzarech Yom Tov Sharu Rabbanan. And so therefore, the Chachamim wanted us focused. So, if it's something that is Yantav related, like getting a haircut, like the tailor, so like the launderer, so then that would be allowed on Erev Pesach. So you can't compare necessarily what's allowed during Chol HaMoed versus what's allowed on Erev Pesach. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph.